1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Father God, it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We are thankful and a grateful people to be here today. Father, I thank you for our salvation. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray, Lord, that he would have free reign in our hearts and lives today. And Lord, I pray and thank you for this book, this wonderful Bible, the Holy Scriptures. And I pray, Lord God, as we leave this place, that we be more appreciative and more in love with this book than we've ever been. And Lord, there are some here in this room that their love for the Word of God has dwindled away. And Father, there's a famine in their land. And Lord, I pray that you'd call them, Lord, back to you and back to your Word today. And Lord God, if someone again does not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray they'd realize their sin and their desperate need to be born again. And Lord, that today they'd be saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We love you, and Lord God, I pray that you'd set me aside. I pray that you'd use your word mightily today. I pray, Lord God, that not one word would fall to the ground, and Lord, that it would not return void as you've promised. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I'm afraid, folks, that we're living in a day and age where we've done just that. We've taken that which is good and we've called it evil, and we've taken that which is evil and it's called good. And it has permeated every aspect and every part of our lives. If I were to ask you today, where can you go to find truth? Where can you go to find something that you know without a shadow of a doubt is true and sure and dependable? I'd ask you this morning, if you went to a schoolhouse and a schoolroom in a public school, could you find the truth there? Or would you find evolution? And would you find the tearing down of the Word of God? That's what you'd find. Hey, when you click on the television, you're going to find truth there? Are the Hollywood actors, are they portraying and telling you truth? Is the news, are you going to find truth in the news? I don't care what channel it is. Is that where are you sure is what they're telling you is right? You're not going to find truth there. And I'm my friend, you could go to any single debate and any politician. Are you going to have the politicians tell you the truth? And I don't care if you're an elephant or a donkey. Doesn't matter. All men are liars. And if you look to every aspect of our life, and I would submit to you that even this morning, on Sunday morning, all across this great land of America, there are people that are sitting in pews and they're hearing everything but truth. Where can we go to make sure that we're lined up with what the will of God is? How do you and I know what is true and just and proper? I want to submit to you this wonderful thought, that the Word of God is sure. That the Word of God is sure. That is, the Word of God is certain. It is unfailing. The Word of God is infallible. I love that word, infallible. The Word of God is infallible. Pastor, what does that mean? It means incapable of error. If something is infallible, it never is wrong, and thus it is absolutely trustworthy. You and I, listen, if you want to go to find truth, when Pilate said, what is truth? Jesus answered it in John 17, 17. Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. It's sure. We have a sure word of prophecy. Let me show you that. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 17. The word of God is sure. It is unfailing. It is infallible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 17. 2 Peter 1, 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when he came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Have you ever read some of the Old Testament stories and you wish you were there? Have you ever done that? Somebody says, Pastor, when we go there, will there be great big DVD players and we can go and play the... Listen, I'm going to tell you what I believe. You're thinking I'm crazy, but I believe you can go there. I believe you can... Not DVDs, and you're not looking at Charlton Heston as Moses. You can see Moses. But the question is, when we're in heaven, when we're talking about going there in heaven, what are we going to do there. We're going to praise and we're going to worship the Lord. That we're going to sing praise and honor and glory to Him. Now, when I put myself in those Old Testament stories, I want to see the bush burning and not consumed. I want to see the walls of water in the Red Sea part. I don't know if I'd walk through, but I want to see them part. I want to see the plagues, and I want to hear the voice of God like thunder upon the water. I put myself there, and I think, I would like to be there. Peter said, I mean, what an understatement. Peter says, it is good for us to be here. This is good. You think it's good? This is amazing. And Peter says, we heard the voice of God, and we saw the glory of the Son of God. And we saw Moses and Elijah on top of this mountain. This is wonderful. And it was so good when they were done. Jesus said, tell no man. So I see Peter, James, John going down the mountain. I go, wow, that was awesome. That was awesome. They get down there. And Matthew's like, hey, what happened? Can't tell you, but it was really awesome. Peter says, I know you've not been on that mountain. And I know there's only been three of us that heard the audible voice of God. But he says to you and I as saints, he says, you know what? You didn't miss anything. Wait, what? You didn't miss anything. 2 Peter chapter 1, look with me at verse number 18. And his voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the holy mount. Verse 19, we have also a more, what's the next word? Sure word of prophecy. Peter says, if I could choose to hear the voice of God on the mountain or have the completed word of God in my hand, you have a more sure word of prophecy. Imagine the power of this book, the fact that we have God's infallible word in our hands. He said, Pastor, keep using that word infallible, without error. Make no mistake, my friend, the word of God is pure. The word of God is perfect. As a matter of fact, Psalm 19, verse 7. The word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We have God's word, and God's word is sure. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. God's word is pure, and God's word is perfect. Psalm 12, verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purifying seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I want to tell you that you can be sure that you have God's sure, inspired, preserved word in your lap right now. That is God's word. I remember my preacher told me when I was headed off to Bible college, he said, listen, he says, you have God's hand on your life, son. He said, three things I'm going to tell you to watch out for. Number one, watch out for women. Number two, that's good advice. Little did I know. He said, number two, he said, watch out for pride. And he said, number three, don't ever let anybody steal your Bible. And I thought, steal my Bible? If they steal it, they need it. Right? Someone steal a Bible, they need it, right? Like, hopefully they'll get to the Ten Commandments. They'll need, thou shalt not steal. That's not what he was talking about. He said, you have God's word in your lap, and don't you dare go to some higher education that tells you you don't have God's word, and let's monkey around with that thing and change it around and manipulate it and corrupt it and then hand you back something that's not God's word. You can be sure. You can have absolute confidence in your King James Bible that it is God's inspired, preserved word, and it is sure. Not only is the word of God sure, but I want you to see that the word of God will endure. The word of God is sure, and the word of God will endure. Now go back to our text in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23, he says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Look at verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth for how long? Forever. The word of the Lord, the word of God will endure. I like the word abide. The word abide means to continue permanently or in the same state, to be firm, to be immovable. So the word of God is sure, but the word of God will endure. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Psalm 119, 160 says that God's word will endure. It will abide forever. It is firm, it is immovable, and it is fixed. Now, like I said before, there are many that have tried to move it. There's many that have tried to change it. There's many that have tried to destroy it, to destroy the word of God. I think I need to say this probably more than I think I've ever had to say it in 25, 26 years of ministry, this statement. Socialism has to first steal the word of God from the people of God in order for it to thrive. Did you catch that? How is it that an America that is free are willing to give up their freedoms and buy into a lie? Because they rejected the truth. Because they rejected the truth. But the Bible says, we be not as many that corrupt the word of God. Now the Bible says the Bible is incorruptible, meaning that it will endure forever and it will abide. But that doesn't mean that other people are not trying to monkey around with it or trying to take it away. We say, well, what's the problem in our schools? And why do we need metal detectors? And why is there so many issues and problems in public schools? The same people asking those questions. The same people that says, well, why are you praying for these people that are victims when where was God when they were shot? The same God in the 60s where you said a child couldn't pray to that God. The same God that when those atheists and those anti-God politicians say the Pledge of Allegiance, take the one nation under God out of the pledge. The same ones that said we can't post the Ten Commandments. Listen, I read that ruling. I read it. And one of the guys stood up and said, we can't post the Ten Commandments in schools because kids will walk by and they might read it. Well, it's a miracle in public schools that they can read it. And then they said they might read it and feel compelled to abide by it. That's why we have them. I want them to walk by and say that there is one God. I want them to walk by and say, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, honor thy father and thy mother. Listen, our society needs those things. Amen. And so we try to take them down. We try to put the word of God aside. We try to criticize and demean the word of God. But I have news for you. The word of God will endure. In Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. So the earth abideth. I love that phrase. The earth abideth, meaning it's immovable, it's firm, it abideth. And by the way, while we're on a tear here, the earth is going to abide as long as God wants it to abide. Amen. Let me say that again. Your SUV is not destroying the planet. Amen. We are to be good stewards of the earth. Yes, we are. But we have dominion over this earth. Amen. The idea, well, global warming, we're just, listen, there is going to be global warming, and it won't be man-made. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. When God's done with it, it will be done. We're not going to destroy it. Amen. But you take away the word of God and tell man that he evolved. And all of a sudden, they act like an animal. All of a sudden, we have evolution. We have homosexuality. And we have abortion. Why? Because we try to put the word of God aside. But the word of God will endure forever. Amen. It's God's word. Amen. I read throughout history of men and leaders that have tried to destroy the word of God and eradicate the word of God. Some of the largest mass murderers in the world had to first rob the word of God from the people of God before they began to slaughter people by the millions. By the millions. I love the story of Voltaire, the noted French infidel who died in 1778, made an attempt to destroy the Bible. He boldly made the prediction that within 100 years, the Bible and Christianity would be swept off the face of the earth. 100 years, he died in 1778. He's still dead, by the way. And I still have a Bible. But Voltaire's efforts and his bold prophecy failed as miserably as it did those of his unbelieving predecessors. In fact, within 100 years, the very printing press upon which Voltaire had printed his infidel literature was being used to print copies of the Bible. I love that. I want a copy. It endures. It endures. I love the song of the poem about the anvil. Last eve I passed beside a blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vesper chime. When looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and batter all those hammers so? Just one, said he, then said with a twinkle in his eye, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so I thought, the anvil of God's word, for ages skeptics' blows have beaten upon, yet though the noise of falling blows were heard, the anvil is unheard and the hammer is all gone. Listen, the very people that deny the word of God and say it's not the word of God and try to put off the word of God and destroy the word of God are going to be judged by the word of God. And Jesus said, the last day, you have one that judges you. It's the word that I have spoken unto you. It's the very word of God. And it adores forever. And I am so glad that men and women have died to preserve the word of God. Men and women have died for possessing the word of God, for having the word of God. There was a day when the word of God used to be chained to some pulpits. Not that they were scared that someone would steal it. They were scared that someone would take it home and read it. And it's appalling to me that there's never been a generation that has more Bibles than we have today. And we have Bibles on our iPhones, and we have Bibles on our iPads. We have multiple Bibles on our bookshelves. We have Bibles upon Bibles. And yet there's never been a generation of believers that are more illiterate about the things of God and the Word of God than our generation today. Because we can say with all of I believe the Word of God is sure, and I believe the Word of God will endure. But yet we're not reading it. We're not studying it. We're not memorizing this book. We're not there waiting for the church house doors to open where we can hear the word of God taught and study the word of God together. We have lost that word, that love of the word of God. But it endures. It endures. So number one, the word of God is sure. It is infallible. It is true. It is pure. It is right. The word of God will endure. It is immovable. It abideth forever. And heaven and earth shall pass away. And I like the idea that the earth is going to abide, and it's going to abide as long as God wants it. But heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That God's word is going to abide longer than the earth and longer than men that live in the earth. Forever, the word of God is settled in heaven. Amen. Lastly, number one, the word of God is sure. The word of God will endure. And lastly, the word of God is the cure. The word of God is the cure. And this is the heart of what Peter's saying in verse number 23, being born again. Oh, being born again. Remember that conversation that Jesus had? And by the way, that conversation that Jesus had is the only other time this phrase is used, born again. In John chapter number 3, a very wealthy man, a very religious man, a very respected man went to Jesus at night and had some questions for him. And Jesus looked at this religious man and said this, ye must be born again. It's in that context, if you don't know your Bible very well, it's in that context where Jesus says the words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's saying it to the same man. And the man says, how can one be born when he is old? How can that even happen? I don't even understand how that could happen. You're telling me I have to do this to go to heaven, but how does a person do that? And Peter, here in 1 Peter, answers that question. Being born again by what? The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. The Word of God. You know, the Bible says the Word, the Scriptures conclude all men are sinners, that all men are under sin. All. Scripture, all. Do you know, I find that to be true because I've met you. Right? And I don't care what your background is. He's looking at a very religious man, more religious than you and I. He says, you must be born again. You're not religious enough. You're not sanctified enough. You're not good enough to get to heaven. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the scripture makes it very clear. When we talk about the Ten Commandments, the scriptures say, for all have sinned, but we compare ourselves to the scriptures, compare ourselves to the law, compare ourselves to the Old Testament, and we've lied, we've disobeyed our parents, we have cheated, we have committed a covetousness, we have lusts in our hearts, and it goes on and on and on. Somebody said to me once, I said, are you a sinner? No, I'm not a sinner. I said, yes, you are. How dare you say I'm a sinner? How dare you? I said, I didn't say it. The Bible said it. God said it. Now, I'm saying it because the Bible says it. But you know what? You know. You know, I had a guy tell me once, he came down to my house. He said, hey, are you shooting around here? I said, yes, sir. I don't care that we're live streaming. I said it. Are you shooting? I said, yeah, I'm shooting. Well, you do know that I'm a pacifist, don't you? I said, now I know. He said, yeah, I don't know about all this stuff. I said, well, I'll be honest with you. I said, I'd be a pacifist too if there were no evil men in the world. But there are evil men in the world. So a pacifist is nothing but a coward. What's he going to do? He's a pacifist. Right? You said, you said that? He's a pacifist. What's he going to do? But I often thought that somebody says, I'm a pacifist and I will never resort to, what if you just, I would never do this. I wouldn't. I don't think I ever would. But if somebody says, what if you just went, whap, and watch their pacifism melt away? You say you are, but I know better. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a sinner. Oh, really? Really? Yeah, we are. It's concluded. The scripture concluded. We're all sinners. And it's that scripture that tells us the problem of sin. For the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel chapter 18. James chapter number 2, that I've offended in one point, I'm guilty of all. I'm guilty. I've offended a holy God. I'm a sinner. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the scriptures. So the scripture concludes we're all sinners and that we're going to die. But listen, it is not just the word that endures. It's also the word that cures. My problem is sin. Well, the Bible tells us what the cure is. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I declare unto you the gospel. Isn't that what he says? Look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The gospel's the good news. It's the good news of Scripture. So Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Jesus died according to the Scriptures and was buried and raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. See, sin is the problem, and the Bible is the cure. Amen. The Bible tells us of our sin. The Bible tells us of our Savior. It's the Scripture. Not only, I want you to know this, but not only will the Bible be the cure for our sin, and praise the Lord for that, the Bible is the cure for our society. Amen. The Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We need to get back to the very Word of God. It is a cure for our society. I began to read, and as you read about the societies in the Bible, and watch how they walk away from God, whether it's Israel, Israel itself, as they walk away from the precepts of the Word of God and the things that happen in their homes, the things that are allowed to happen in their homes, the things that happen in their town square, and the things that happen in their government. You go, how could that possibly happen? It happens whenever a people walks away from the Word of God, walks away from the Bible. I read a story of a girl that was a young little girl that was on a plane by herself, and she brought her Bible, and she sat down there, and next to her came this older man who was an atheist and sat next to her, and she opened up the Bible, and the flight started, and he's looking at the Bible, kind of snaring at it, and she's reading, and he's looking. She's reading, looking. He says, what are you reading? She said, the Bible. She said, you believe that book of fables? She says, yeah, I believe that book of fables. Hey, do you know why the Word of God is true and it's sure and it adores and it's the cure? It's because it's written by God. God cannot lie. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Literally, that Bible you have in your hand was God-breathed. The same word that created the sun, moon, and stars is the same word that made that Bible. The same true God gave you his true word. And she said, yeah, I believe this because it's God's word. She said, you believe all those people? Yeah, I believe all of them. You believe Jonah was swallowed by a whale, little girl? You believe that? She said, yes, I believe that. She said, well, where do you think Jonah's now? And she said, I think he's in heaven. And he says, well, what if he's not in heaven? And then she said, well, then you can ask him. I like that little girl. Then you can ask him. Listen, you got to believe Jonah and the whale, because Jesus tied his death, burial, and resurrection to it in Matthew chapter 12. It's all true. It's all sure. It will all endure, but it is also the cure. As a cure to our sin, Jesus Christ can save you. And that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. How can you know for sure you're going to heaven? By the word of God, not by our church constitution. Our church constitution is only right where it reflects and reveals the word of God. Not by a denomination, not by our heritage, not by our tradition. We're not saved with incorruptible things. We're saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, as declared by the Scriptures. Would you let us open up the Bible sometime and show you how you can make sure you're going to heaven when you die? So if the Bible is the things that we just said it was, as we study this text, we find out the Bible is sure. We find out that the Bible will endure. And we find out that the Word of God is the cure. If you believe those things, would you say amen?
Amen.
Let's share one more verse. Let's read one more verse. Verse number 2 of chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. The Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If the Bible is everything that we just said it was, shouldn't we desire it? Job said, I've esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. I need the word. In Psalm 1, he meditates therein day and night. I need your word. Oh, Lord, how I love thy word. I love thy testimonies. I love thy precepts, to love the word of God. And I've seen this. The Bible says to the full soul loath of the honeycomb. But to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. I think that you and I are so full of all the things we have to do, so full of life, so full of entertainment, so full of Facebook, so full of vacation, so full of all the things we got to do, that when it comes to the Word of God, we've lost our appetite. I've never understood that. My mom used to say that all the time. You can't, don't have that cookie, you'll spoil your appetite. Mom, do you know me? Maybe for a second. But you know it's true. And so many people are spoiled their appetite, and so they have no more appetite for the Word of God. And they spoiled it. How's your desire? When you wake up in the morning, is that your desire? Is to spend some time with your God in His Word? Is it your desire to come to a midweek Bible study just to spend an hour studying the Scriptures? Is that your desire? Well, I don't have to ask that question because I'm here. So I know if it's your desire, because if it was, you'd be there. Oh, it just got personal, didn't it? Listen, I'm just asking you, what happened? When you were first saved, you could not get enough of the Word of God. I know you didn't learn it all. I know I didn't learn it all. Well, what happened to that desire? Years ago, I read a story about a man, and I'm going to close with this. His name is Hien Pham in Vietnam, and I'll tell this story as best as I remember hearing it. Hien Pham was he was a believer. And right after the Vietnam War, the Vietnamese, the communists, found out that he helped the Americans and that he was a believer of the Scriptures. And so they put him in a prison camp, a labor camp. And he was in this labor camp for many years. And while he was in this camp, he began to lose his faith in God and his faith in the Word, and was questioning his belief in Jesus Christ. And this is a true story. Well, during the mornings, they would give you the Vietnamese soldiers would come in and give you your detail of what you would have to do as a prisoner that day. Well, he got the latrines one day. The job of the latrines was to go where the officers and the soldiers would go and go up underneath those boards, and you were responsible to take those buckets and take those buckets out and get rid of the waste. It was the worst job there in that prison camp. And when that first day when he got that job, he was upset that he had that job. He said when he went under there and pulled one of those cans out, he noticed some American writing on some white paper. And he pulled it out of the urine and the feces, and he looked at it, and it was Romans chapter number 1. The soldiers were using the Bible as toilet paper. He went to one of the head soldiers and he asked to have the latrine duty every day. And he would go in there every day and he'd pull those cans out and he would sift through those cans to find pages of the Bible. And we'd go back to his cell, he'd hide it and go back to his cell, and he would clean them off, and he began to put them together. And I thought, here's a man that's willing to go through that for one page of Scripture. And you and I have multiple copies. We got them in our cars, in our trunks, in our bookshelves, on our television, on our nightstand, on our dresser. We use them as place sitters, holders for, you know, where we want to sit. We got Bibles. And here's a man that desired the Word so much that he's willing to go through that nastiness to clean it off so that he could have one page of Scripture. I would say, in comparison to generations before us and believers around the world, that we as Americans have lost our love for the Word of God because we are so full of all kinds of other things. How's your desire? Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you, Lord, publicly for this book, for the Word of God. It is my privilege and honor, Lord, to preach this book, and I know that I'm unworthy. It's an amazing thing that you can take a sinful man to preach a perfect book. But Lord, I know us, and I know that most of us, when we were first saved, we could not get enough of the Scripture. And yet life happens, and we learn our way around the Bible, and life happens, and we have jobs, and we have family reunions, and we have cars to fix, and we have chores to run, and kids to raise, and we run around, and all of a sudden, the Bible becomes less and less important, and our love for the Scriptures waxes cold. And no longer is it important to hear the Word of God taught in Sunday school. That's not a priority. Or to come back on a Wednesday night to study the Word of God. In the morning, we rush off to work and do everything we have to do, and the Bible lays there collecting dust, never having been cracked for days. Lord, I pray that this morning, we, your people, would be called back to this book. Lord, that you would give us a desire to know and to study, that you give us a love for this book. And Lord, that we would not only love it, but we would learn it, that we'd rightly divide it, with the ultimate goal of striving to live it, that we'd not be hearers of the word only, but doers. Lord, would you call us, Lord? Could we be honest? Father, this morning we're not looking at how much of the Bible we know, looking about how much we love the Word of God. And I believe that love, the word, has waxed cold in many of our hearts and lives. So I pray that the Holy Spirit would have free reign this morning. Father, I do pray if someone does not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they'd allow us to open up the Bible and show them how they can make sure they're going to heaven and not the lake of fire for all of eternity. We pray these things in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask you this. Is there someone here this morning who says, you know what, Pastor? I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know. If I were to die today, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. If you're not sure, would you slip up your hand right now that I might pray for you? Pastor, here's my hand. I don't really know for sure that I'd go to heaven if I were to die today. Would you let me pray for you? All right, Christian, honestly, how many of you, your love of the word is waning? It's not as strong as it used to be, and you want that love again for his word. Would you slip up your hand honestly? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's stand on our feet. I'm going to ask the piano to play. I want you to come to the old-fashioned altar and thank the Lord for his word, his inspired, preserved word. Thank him for the fact that it revealed to you the cure for sin. And ask him to help you to learn it and to love it, to memorize it, to study it, to live it.